Welcome back to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa.
I know in a way this will sound like it's out of place, out of time. For somebody living in the United States, it's kind of hard to understand.
A few weeks ago, mis queridos listeners, we reached out to you on Twitter, and we asked if technology has improved the way you communicate with your loved ones abroad. We heard back from lots of you, including David Colunga from Houston.
Technologies that are commonly used by everyone in the United States in a certain time, you know, those were technologies that in Mexico, they were just, you know, starting to develop. There was very little access.
David grew up with his mother in Mexico while his father worked in the United States. In the 1980s, there wasn't much phone or internet access, so there was really only one way to get in touch with someone.
When I was a kid, my mom and dad, they communicated through letters. They would send letters every week. So all the information each other knew about what was going on. You know, my dad, he knew what was going on with us children, and my mom knew what he had going on here in the States. Was a week off, so she would get news of last week, this week.
But David's tiny town in the state of Tamaulipas did have some phone access.
They had several phones, and people from the United States would call this caseta to talk to their loved ones on the phone.
Of course, it's the 21st century now, and there's greater communication access everywhere in the world. Families video chat through Skype. They message each other through free services like WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger. And, you know, it's easier to stay in touch with people across borders more now than it's ever been. But David Colunga isn't sure that's necessarily a good thing.
There is a downside, though. A lot of my friends have been, you know, the same friends that I had when I left Mexico. And I think sometimes, you know, this super easy and fast way to, you know, keep track and stay in touch with the friends you have, it would hinder your ability or sometimes just your time, you know, to develop and get new friendships and new relationships and all that, you know.
Of course, the fact is that it's easier to send messages across the border, and now it's easier to send money too. Our producer, Antonia Cerejido, is back to tell us more.
Remittance is a huge industry. Remittances to the developing world, it's a $410 billion industry, right?
When we're talking about remittances, what we mean is when an individual from an immigrant community sends money back to his or her country of origin. So, for instance, if you're a Mexican immigrant and you're sending money back to your family for things like utilities or groceries, you're sending remittances. And the remittances industry is actually almost the size of the global airline industry.
From the U.S., Latin America receives $60 billion. Just from the U.S. and just Latin America. So it's a humongous industry. It's huge.
Edricio de la Cruz should know. He's trying to make money from remittances. Fees for most remittance companies are crazy big. They're taking between 5 and 10%, which may not sound like a lot. But if you're sending money abroad every month, it adds up.
And the other facet is the one of control and just transparency. You don't know when the money gets there.
What Edricio means is that you have no way of knowing that your money got into the right hands safely.
They have to literally pick up the phone and call you, hey, I received the money. Yeah. Thank you. And that rarely happens.
And of course, if the money does get there, you have no idea how the people on the other side are actually going to spend it.
Exactly. I mean, you send money to somebody and you don't know what they're going to do with it, if they're going to gamble it away or drink it away or use it for something else other than what you intended it to.
This is a very real problem. People might misuse it or ask for more money than they really need. You really have no way of knowing. So Edricio did what any natural entrepreneur would do when confronted with a problem. He turned the solution into a business.
We play here every single day. This is addicting. Ping pong is amazing, and I'm probably the worst player.
Edricio's startup, Regali, is located in Washington Heights in northern Manhattan. And Regali is a play on regalo, the Spanish word for gift, but with two I's. With traditional companies like MoneyGram or Western Union, you just send money from one side to the other, but you can't really control what the money goes toward. The idea behind Regali is that you don't actually have to send money to an individual person. You can actually pay their bills directly to the utility companies from anywhere. One of our other producers, Michael Simon Johnson, talked to Edricio about this.
This is kind of your dashboard. This is my cousin, so I'll pay her cable. Mm-hmm. This is when the next one is due.
Is that the name of the utility?
Like, yeah, exactly.
That's the utility company?
Yeah. This is electricity.
Uh-huh. And these are her bills?
This is my cousin. This is my aunt.
Okay. Oh, so we're looking at multiple people.
Yeah, you can have multiple people. And they get a text message saying, hey, your bill was paid. Thanks for your regalo.
Dígame. Un envío. ¿Cuánto vas a mandar? Porque ya estoy bajo de crédito.
Daisy Paulino runs a store called GWB around the corner from Regali's office. And GWB offers all kinds of cross-border services, things like prepaid phone cards. People come in all the time to send money abroad. Some of them come in to use Regali.
It could be 3 times a day, 4 times. It could be more than that. It depends on the day that the bill is due in Dominican Republic.
Anyone can use the website themselves. But if you don't have access to a computer, or you don't know how to navigate the internet on your phone, or if you don't even have a credit card, you can come to one of these places, like Daisy's GWB, and pay for your cousin's phone bill in cash.
Is there any trouble convincing people, like, no, you are actually paying the bill?
With us, no, because I've been here for a long time, and, you know, I know everybody around the neighborhood, and everybody trusts, you know, my company.
So basically, like, community trust is what...
Mm-hmm.
And the company is growing. Through his service, users have paid close to $2 million in bill payments in the DR alone.
His definition of technology is just a good technology is that doing things better. That's it, doing things better and easier, whatever it is you got to do.
Edricio's company is small, and he says he feels a sense of isolation, considering how few Latinos there are in the tech world.
There's 4 times more female founders than Hispanic founders. And people say that, you know, women in tech is low. Yeah, it is low, but still a lot bigger than Hispanics.
Right.
Just regardless of gender, so. Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
A lot of Latinos are new to this country. They're 1-2 generations in, so you've already taken one big risk, right? One big leap. So you're somewhat reserved to take that next leap. And that reservation sticks with you 1 or 2 generations, typically, until you're stable. I think the other aspects, honestly, is just is presidents or the ecosystem. They don't have an ecosystem that supports them.
Getting Latinos working in the tech sector has to start with Latinos feeling an ownership of technology that they use or don't use. That's not always easy within a Latino cultural context. David Kalunga, who told us about how his parents communicated through letters, explained why he never used technology to send money across borders, even though it would be easier.
I guess the main reason is the power of habit. I just never developed a habit to using the internet for that. I was raised, you know, in a cash economy, and I think a lot of people from Mexico also, you know, you tend to rely a lot on cash. Banking, unfortunately, in Mexico, it's kind of expensive. The other reason, it's just the general mistrust on the internet. You know, it's funny. My mom, like, even now, like, when my cousins or my aunts share pictures of babies or of news or, you know, important things, you know, my mom would be like, tell them that they don't need to be sharing that stuff on the internet. And, you know, of course she wants to look at the pictures, but she's always giving us the lecture afterwards. That's, I would say, another reason. But the main one, like I said, it's the power of habit. You know, I just learned to do it that way. And then when I got into smartphones and the internet and everything, I just never considered using them for that purpose.
But companies like Regali are interrupters of habit and are introducing a lot of Latinos to new ideas, like sending remittances online. You can even hear in David's voice how he's reconsidering his views.
Although, I guess, it would be very convenient. But I just never did get into that. You know, I don't know why.
So despite the high rates at which Latinos use mobile technology, some are still underestimating what that technology, that's right there in their hands, is capable of.